listening to Parent Projects.
Hey, everybody. We're coming to you live from the Radford School of Racing out here in Chandler, Arizona. We're with AK. That's Alexander Kariba, our race car driver for the Parent Projects brand. And this is definitely an episode you don't want to miss. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Parent Projects, a family media and technology group production. Now here's your host, Tony Siebers.
He is the young gun of AL Autosports. He is our hero at Parent Projects. He wears the love check to the helmet and is out to run he's going to take over IMSA this year on his way to win as much as he can possibly win in motorsports across the board. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I have got Alexander Kariba here with me today. And Alexander,
that was quite the intro. I don't know if I can follow all of what you just said there, but I'm going to give it my best shot. I can tell you that.
Well, I think you started. So we got to start just before coming into it. You took us out in one of these beautiful Hellcats.
Yes.
And to run around. So we've got a little bit of adrenaline that's still pumping through the system. And I appreciate just the opportunity. And much thanks to the Radford Racing School for having us out here.
For sure. Yeah, they're an awesome group of guys to work with. And letting us come out here and just rip on a Hellcat and have some fun. So, great scenery as well.
Without a doubt.
It's a great place to call work, if you will, every now and again.
So, and now you are in the middle of a pause, right? You are in, not even a pause. Your season's just kicked up. Mm-hmm. The IMSA prototype challenge, which you are doing in 2022, and which we're so proud to be behind you on.
Yes.
Podium finish.
Yes.
Out of Daytona, man.
Yes, that was quite the event. Daytona was something that I could have never anticipated, to be honest with you. I knew we were going to be good. My teammate Memo Gidley and I knew we were going to have a fighting chance at a very good finish, but I didn't ever imagine it would go as well as it did. You know, we practically dominated the entire race.
Pole position day three, right?
Yeah, a pole position on debut, and then started the race, and we lapped the entire field at Daytona during the middle stint. Then we got caught out by a little bit of a caution at the end, and just the strategy didn't play into our favor. And then with about 30 minutes to go, I was on stint and a half old tires at the end, and then it starts to rain, and I didn't have the grip that I wanted, so it was all about survival at the end. And last lap was
You haven't seen it, we will put down in our comments below of this, we'll put some video footage of you getting bumped,
yes,
and having to recover. I mean, we're talking it looked inches from hitting that wet grass
and then you touch that wet grass, you're a goner.
Yeah.
So we were very lucky to get away with that. My mother was crying. It was over the top emotional experience.
Yes. And all the way to the podium.
Yes, exactly. It was an unreal experience to be a part of. Like I said, couldn't have asked for much better on debut. Debut of the team in that series. Debut of this brand new race car as well. Yeah. It was all so much overload that I didn't even go to bed probably till about 3 a.m. that night.
I would imagine.
Just like I couldn't even fathom what it just happened.
I just took two laps with you, and I don't know if I'm going to bed till 3 a.m. this morning. So
yeah.
I can only imagine. Man, top level of motorsports in Tim Tebow fashion.
Yes.
You and I share a common goal off of that. Our faith is something that's a part of everything that we do.
For sure.
It's one reason why I admire you as a friend and as a human being, as a business leader. And I'm so excited to have you on the show just from that. What does that mean for you in motorsports?
One thing I like to say is the reason I wake up every morning is because, I want to win an Indy 500 one day. I want to be a successful race car driver, win championships, win the big races like the Daytona 24, Sebring 12 or something like that. But to me, all of that is on the surface. And at the end of the day, for me, it's just the kind of thing where, yeah, all of that glory is great, but I'm not in it for my own glory. You know, I believe that God has given me a gift to be able to do what I'm able to do behind the wheel of a race car, and that he's given me this natural gift to be able to just be the best at my craft. And I firmly believe that. I don't know if that's braggadocious.
You own that. No. I think you have to own that.
For sure. And you say that, and I always say this is like, if you don't get in that race car and you don't get in thinking I'm the greatest race car driver in the world right now, then you're already defeated on day one.
Right.
You can't go into that experience thinking, oh, I'm just going to be in it to make top five. I'm just going to try to make top 10 or something like that.
Yep.
If I don't get in that car and believe I am the greatest to ever walk the earth in a race car, then you know, you've already lost.
I mean, that present, whether it be a belief in presence and showing up and, you know, the positive energy, the other things that start towards that, there's probably 1,001 different reasons, medical and emotional, that play into that. But ultimately, you and I, we both work through businesses. We talk about speed, scale, bleeding edge, right? Speed, scale, and bleeding edge. And that speed is for our clients, for our members, for our customers, our families, whatever you call the work to them, speed plays a role in a lot of the things that they have to do. But when you increase speed, typically you're losing, it's either going to cost you a lot or you have to choose in quality in some place or the other. What is a balance of time, quality, and cost when speed is something that has to happen for you? You know, what are you thinking about when you are trying to balance quality against?
Honestly, it all of what you just said right there reminds me of the type of thing where we talk about often, especially at a race school like this, when we have complete novices coming in. It's the type of thing where people come in and they think racing is just all brute force, and whoever can muscle this thing around the best is going to be the fastest guy. Whoever can turn harder or hit the gas harder, that's not what it's about.
Yeah,
it is a ballet, not a wrestling match, if you will. And to say that as in the smoothness, we talk a lot about smoothness in racing, of just the perfection needed to be able to perform. It's not always how long can I carry the throttle through here, or how hard can I hit the brakes. It's how subtly can I do this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
How easily can I get through this corner.
Absolutely.
How do I make this easier on the tire, possibly.
Right.
Also a factor where I might not have the tire life right now to be able to make it through this. So I got to extend it. I got to be nicer to my car. There are times where I can go really hard on the car and push harder and harder. So it's really, like I said, a dance in what we do in racing. And I think that correlates a lot.
Yeah. You know, the dance too comes down to, you're talking about responding to what you have in front of you, the changing conditions of stuff. You talk about, we talk about the race line. Right. In a best race line. And much like in a parent project, we say, if you've seen one project, you've seen one project, because everything's different. But the reality is there's generally this best race line that you can work through in a project. And for you, that race line is something that you start with as a plan. But as you've talked with me about offline, it is really about recovery. It is your ability to smoothly understand, okay, I just came out of that one just a little off pitch. And now I said 137 more turns that I'm going to make in here, right? Or so talk about how you put something behind you that didn't work the way it was supposed to work, darn it. And I mean, you plan everything against that, but you still have what's in front of you, and it's got to be smooth.
There's an often phrase that we say in racing, and it's simply, that's racing, because anything and everything can go wrong. Anything and everything can go correctly or right or whatever. There's so many multitude of ways that things can go in this sport. And all the way down to that, you come through a corner. And now, I want to be perfect every single lap. It's not exactly possible all the time. You try to strive for that, but maybe once in a while you mess up turn one, let's say. If I go through turn one, I mess up turn one.
You can't give up there.
Yes, exactly. That's the worst, is when you're like, okay, I got to go put in a good lap, and then you just mess up turn one. It's like, oh my gosh, now I got to go all the way back around and try to get. But anyways, it's just the kind of thing, especially in a racing scenario.
Yeah.
You know, you're on track, you got guys behind you, you're leading the race, something like that. And you have to perform in that moment where you might screw up a corner, you might screw up in turn one, and now, you have turn one on your mind. Well, now you're going into turn two, turn three. You're going through a complex of corners now. And if you're still thinking about turn one behind you, the guys behind you have already defeated you. And we talk about a lot how you have to, we're at a racetrack.
We are at a racetrack.
What do you expect?
And I love it.
We talk about a lot how no matter what could ever go wrong in that type of racing scenarios, that as soon as something wrong happens, if you get a little sideways through one corner, you push through one, you tap the wall, something like that,
yeah,
immediately put it in the back of your mind, like you completely forgot what just happened. Do that Will Smith Men in Black.
No, the flash.
Yes, the flash thing. Forget awesome. Everything that just happened. And yes.
Love it.
And focus on everything ahead of you, because you've already been beaten if you're thinking about turn one and you're all the way to turn eight by this time.
Yeah, without a doubt. Hey, everybody at home, I want to give you just a little bit of an idea of what he's talking about. So we're going to take a knee for a second, and I want you to check this out. If we can cue in, and let's see AK, Alexander Kariba, in action. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. That is, if that doesn't get your blood pumping, I don't know what is. Thank you very much for letting us be able to see it. Hey, obviously, this isn't something that you can just do on your own. Both of our efforts, we talked about that saying, the difference between a vision and a hallucination, getting other people to see it.
Yes.
Right? And pulling a team around. I really want to talk in this segment of how we identify good teammates. For you, man, you're driving, you're well over 100 miles an hour. And the safety that comes down to those things. What is it that you're looking for in a teammate when you're selecting somebody that's got to put put that car in top position or whatever it is you have to do?
Yeah, for sure. It's the kind of thing where I have a lot of teammates. Memo Gidley is my technical teammate in the AL Autosport with JDC 23 car. A little bit of a plug there. I got to say the full name of the car every time, right? But yeah, Memo is my technical, full-time teammate, right? But I say I have a lot of teammates.
Yeah.
I have my media team who puts out great content for me and is able to put together the kind of things that people want to see on social media or on whatever it might be. I have my parents, my parents who have got me here since I was a little kid and got me in go-karting as, a young little kid who just had a crazy dream that they knew nothing about, but they're like, hey, let's see where that kind of takes. Let's see what happens. I have my manager, Chris Wheeler from Wheeler Motorsports Consulting. He's something else. That's for sure. He is a manager, to say the least. He is straightforward. He makes it happen. You know, I wouldn't be hardly anywhere without him, without my coach, Phil Lombardi. There's just so many different people that have been able to just be maybe that 1% that helped my career in this way, and then 1% here, 1% there. And then we've slowly but steadily built this career that I now have. I can't take full credit for it by any means. I have all of those people behind me in my circle, mentors, sponsors, everybody like that, to be able to make this collectively all come together.
Yeah. It's a collective thing. You have a role and you've got a leading, you've got a face that's out front from that. But the reality is, without those things behind, without people knowing that you're doing it or where that is, especially when we get into talking here about business and how business connects into this, that you can't be doing that when you're in a race car, right?
No,
so somebody has to deliver at that backside of it. So.
Exactly. And also, I will say, it puts a good amount of pressure on me that I've had all these people in my life that have been helpful in whatever that way might be, whether it was a big way and they were a big sponsor or a team took a chance on me or something here or there, all the way down to the smallest person maybe gave me just one piece of advice that I took with me throughout the rest of my career. Still, it's that good pressure on my part that I can't, not go to the gym today because I I really do think that if I'm not going to the gym today, if I don't make that email today, if I don't, you know, try to talk to everybody that I can, whatever it might be, or push for that another lap because my neck is about to fall off because I've been taking all these G-forces all day long, but I'm like, I got to push for that one more. Or best example is Daytona. It's like I confidence was completely gone towards the end of that race. I'm falling back. The car isn't doing what I want it to. But in that moment, I'm just thinking, I got this whole team behind me. I got my family behind me. I have all these sponsors. I have all of these people behind me that I feel like I'm letting down in that moment if I can't perform. So yeah. It's a lot of pressure, but it is very good pressure, I will say. And it makes me strive forward.
Well, you rise to it really well. Last night, my kids had a music concert, and one of the composers of the songs that they sang was talking in his statement to the song. He was talking about the importance of conflict against those that may have been marginalized or other things, that conflict itself can serve as this catalyst. And whether, you know, for those of us from a Christian standpoint of life, we look at iron sharpening iron, or what really, you know, how we get tested in those situations. I think it's those times when it's just harder. It's just, you're not sure where that is. And that's, for me, it's where my faith comes in. It'll be that one discipline I can sit back on that will remind me of, there's all of this around you, right? You have all of these people around you, or this team around you.
For sure.
They can kick you back in. And that,
yes,
that
and they don't mind kicking you back in.
They don't.
You know, I've had a couple of occasions where I've had somebody have to get on my case for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Chris, yeah, he'll tell me how it is every now and again. Sometimes it's not as much getting me in line as much as it is just to stop annoying him, because I'm always coming to him and I'm like, I got an idea that we should do something like this. I got a video idea. He's like, dude, just calm down. He's like,
yeah,
don't call me every day with, hey, I got an idea, or hey, what if we did this? It's like, yeah, I drive
you,
them
you just
crazy.
Come out of a car though. When you're driving off of that, you got all that. I mean, there's got to be between a race car and coffee for me, I'd be hosed. I don't know how I'd ever like wind back down if I had to keep doing it. This is a whole nother chapter, obviously, in my life, as you know, from my military and law enforcement, you know, times of life. This is a much calmer period of all of that. But those are, that's an important thing. Good people around you, advancing you. You have to advance your brand. AK's interesting. You're really, when we look and when we talk about racing, racing is a collection of brands. I mean, it is. I love that term, co-opetition. What you do plus what I do together makes both of us more valuable to whoever we serve. But I mean, it is literally that. From looking at the side of this car, it's a collection of brands that make that happen, right? Looking what you got, Pepsi, Pennzoil, Gary Sinise was out here yesterday, right, with his group and what they do for veterans. Big push for what we're talking in now. Love him, love his work. Those are all of that effort is a awesome thing to extend AK brand, but your brand sits within all of that. What's it feel to nest your brand inside all of these others?
Yeah, I like to say that racing is not a sport. Racing is a business disguised as a sport, and that it's a cooperation of all of these different groups of people and these different brands that all have a mutual goal in mind, whether it's to make more money as a company, whether it's to just go have fun at the racetrack, or it's,
visibility.
Visibility. Guys, totally. Guys over at our partner Michelin, for them, it's the kind of thing where they want to do some tire testing or something. It's something as simple as that. That's why they're involved, or they want to test something new, or, you know, a brand like Pepsi, they just want everybody at the track to be drinking it, or Red Bull is, you know, a crazy example because they do everything. They're over the top. But yeah, it really is just it's a melting pot of brands. And it's funny to me because people will look over and they're like, what does M&M's have to do with like racing? Like, what is it? Well,
you melted can't like a tire, baby.
Yes, exactly. No, but you have to look at it as it's there's so many different levels to it of why brands are even involved in motorsports.
That's a great comment. And we're going to jump into that in our C block. For those of you at home, we're going to take a second to kind of set up for that C block and prepare into that. A cup of coffee is a great way to prepare for the last leg of all of this. Everybody check out a word from our sponsor here with the Refuge Coffee Company. Hey guys, this is Tony at the Parent Projects podcast. And if you are powered by coffee the way that I'm powered by coffee, I think you'll appreciate knowing a way that you can help the last, lost, and least of us that didn't have a great transition. You see, the Refuge Coffee Company is a social enterprise operated by Catholic Charities of Central and Northern Arizona, where they use this coffee and this business model to help homeless veterans at the Manor House Transitional Community get back on their feet. Help a veteran turn a handout into a hand up by giving them the opportunity to earn your business. Purchase coffee today at therefugeaz.com. That's therefugeaz.com. If you order 6 or more bags, shipping will be free. And if you tell them that Parent Project sent you, I'm going to send you a travel coffee mug. Thank you again, and let's get back to the show. And now that we are fueled up, it is really time into this C block. Let's talk about we have a lot of stuff coming up this summer.
We do,
and into the fall. So the IMSA Prototype Challenge here of 2022 kicked off in Daytona. Is that right? Okay, you started up there. You know, taking names. It's a good place to start, man. Yes. Talk to us the rest of your journey a year ago. I understand you are. It's international. Right,
we're going all the way to Canada a little bit later this year. Next week we are actually testing. Just quick explanation: it's just essentially practice. We go to test things on the race.
I like that.
We go test new things and figure out new things and how we get faster and beat the competition. Right.
Great.
So we're testing at Ohio next week. I'm going to fly out tomorrow actually for that, and then. Racing in Ohio 10 days after that, May 13th through the 15th.
Great.
Catch it on Peacock. And from there, flying out to Mosport, Canada for more testing there. July 1st through the 3rd, we're racing up in Canada. And then I think it's
New Jersey.
August, we race, Virginia.
Virginia. Right. That's right.
Yeah. And then. I think it's either – I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I don't know.
It is across the Eastern Seaboard. But you are going to make a stop here for us again with the car.
In June.
Yes. We are in the middle of all that. You're going to make time for little old us.
Of course. Little old us.
I love you for it, man. I really do. It'll be exciting. So we do plan to have everybody out in June. We'll have an event for our sponsors and for our VBN, our Verified Business Network.
Definitely.
It's working through.
It's going to be awesome. I've already been talking to the team and we're like, we have to fire up the car, even in like a closed quarters area. It'll be
ASU Sky Songs about it.
It'll be loud.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It'll be something everybody there will never forget. I can guarantee that.
That's fantastic. Well, so we got that with the racing schedule. Let's talk about, when you're doing these things, we know we wanted to segue in and understanding business and business of racing. One of the top things that is really important to us is we've seen in Senior Move Management a good connection, really for the wealthy that could afford $3,000 to $15,000 or $20,000 project manager to come in. We went to tackle the mid market, the average Joe and Jane out there who can't drop 10 grand to help them with their parent project. And that's why we turned to technology and automation, all kinds of other tools from that. But connecting in and understanding and where they're at, racing is a great place where they are for us to be able to see that voice of customer and what they care about and how things connect so we can meet them where they're at. Talk to us about what's the audience look like today in racing that you're that you guys are working against, and what does it mean for a business to be able to touch those people through racing?
Yeah, motorsports is bigger than ever right now. It's bigger than ever for multiple reasons. It's been exploding in Gen Zs and millennials as well. The demographic of racing is ever changing. More millennials and Gen Z are involved in motorsports or fans of motorsports than the big four of like NFL, hockey, or any of those, which is just a crazy feat that they've been able to pull off. More attendance on average than any NFL event or MLB or something like that. It's crazy the leaps and bounds they've been able to make in these few short years. Yeah, it's it's a different kind of industry to be a part of as well, and to be selling through, because you're driving mobile billboards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be able to connect with your fan base is so powerful in the motorsports world and who you're looking to target. For example, we have like the IMSA Fan Zone, where a company like a Parent Projects or whoever it might be could set up a booth and connect with all those race fans in the paddock area and just have a one-on-one with those kinds of people. Just a little factoid as well. Race fans are the most loyal fans in the world of any sport, because if your favorite driver is in the M&M's car, again, I'll use M&M's, then you're going to be buying M&M's just because you like that driver. Or you're going to be using Carvana because Jimmy Johnson is the Carvana driver. And the loyalty of the racing fan base is unlike any other sport that you could imagine from that. And it goes deep as well. I know people who are still buying, Fords to this day because their favorite driver back in the day was running a Ford.
Yeah.
It runs deep. It's a very, very powerful marketing tool as well. And I don't know how deep you want to go into I know you have notes. So.
No, I think you're nailing that. That is the connection to a car. Boy, driving. I mean, whether it be almost every parent project at some point in time crosses a line against driving, because mm-hmm. there are a few things I can think of that are more American than this. Right. It is our thing that kind of kicked that up in the automobile and where it goes. You cannot look at a Hellcat and not just like gird yourself. Right? Yeah. Like that's,
oh yeah.
Yeah. That is like, yeah, you know what that means and where that is. There's also a level where you can empathize to them. Mm-hmm. You can understand like, the average person out there hasn't driven as fast as what you've driven, mm-hmm. but at the other side, they've driven a car probably faster than they should have at some point in time. They can feel that. You can hold a wheel. They can understand where that is. When you hear that screech of a car coming through, you know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it easy to understand a little. It makes more of a connection. It's much more difficult for me to connect and know what it's like to hit a three-pointer from outside an NBA three with LeBron James putting his hand in my face. Like,
for sure. And that's the great thing about motorsports. It's kind of a double-edged sword in that way, because everybody drives a car, nearly everyone, right?
Yeah.
And so they can relate to it in a way, but also you get the kind of people who are like, oh, all you're doing is driving a car. How exciting is that? Yeah. I'm like, I will give you a free ticket to come sit by our car or ride with me, and then you'll see how it's just driving a car.
Yeah, but without a doubt. Audience, I'm gonna tell you right now, it is not the same as driving a regular car, right?
Yes. I like to almost say it's sometimes a totally different activity altogether.
Yeah.
It's so different than just driving your standard road car. And you know, even in a Hellcat, it's not a full-fledged race car like our LMP3 car that we drive. It's a rocket ship on wheels, and people just don't understand that. But the great thing is, because they do drive every day and they see the difference, they want to learn and they want to understand why is this so different? Why is it so much faster than my car? What is downforce? Like, what even is that?
Right.
So,
right. Why is it where they accelerating into this thing? Yeah. Like that, with those concepts.
Yes.
Hey, look, it is, I think what you also said there, and when you're looking at the brand loyalty to people and people being loyal because they love that driver, mm-hmm. where that is, what I'm just so proud of with Parent Projects is I don't think we could pick a more lovable driver. And you're affable, you're humble when you need to be off
when
of
I need
that,
to be.
When you need to be humble. We call that confidently humble, right?
Yes.
Humbly confident. I'm proud of you. And
I
know our whole
it, yes.
organization is, and we're just really blessed to get to work with you. So,
well, I'm excited for this journey that we're on now together, and finally happy that we can you know join in this together and see where it takes us.
Yeah, amen. So, God bless you and your driving. I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody. And until next week, I think this is about where we're going to leave it for this week, everybody. Thank you for joining us for the show, and everybody, please drive safely.
Yes, please.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for the team this week, and thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed the content, remember to subscribe and to share this episode on the app that you're using right now. Your reviews and your comments, they really help us expand our reach as well as our perspective. So if you have time, also drop us a note. Let us know how we're doing. For tips and tools to clarify your parent project, simplify communication with your stakeholders, and verify the professionals that you choose, you can find us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks again for trusting us. Until our next episode, behold and be held.
Thank you for listening to this Parent Projects podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, join us on your favorite social media platform or go to parentprojects.com. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Family Media and Technology Group Incorporated and Parent Projects LLC. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.